Welcome to SwampSwami.com, sports commentary and more. And it's Friday, time for Sweep the Swampcast for Friday, April 26, 2019. Today's theme is ups and downs. The NFL draft is underway in Nashville, Tennessee, and after Thursday night's first round, there were many ups and downs in the early round of the draft. If you're a defensive lineman or a linebacker, it's an up.
Bye, bye, bye.
If you expected to hear the names of some well-known, prolific offensive players called in the first round of the NFL draft last night, you were probably disappointed. The two defensive Devins, D-E-V-I-N, LSU's linebacker Devin White and Michigan's linebacker Devin Bush were both taken within the first 10 players selected. The Tigers' Devin White went at number 5 to Tampa Bay, and the Michigan Devin Bush went to the Pittsburgh Steelers at the number 10 pick after Pittsburgh made a late deal with the Denver Broncos for that number 10 selection. Clemson's defensive line also dominated the first round of the draft last night. Three of the first 17 picks in the first round of the NFL draft played defensive line for the national champions, Clemson Tigers. Yeah, they're that good. The down last night, though, quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs.
Sell, sell, sell!
Yes, the number one pick in the draft last night, as most expected, was the selection by the Arizona Cardinals, Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray. It also marks the first time that two consecutive years the number one pick was a quarterback from the same school. Last year, Cleveland selected OU quarterback Baker Mayfield with the number one pick in the draft. Although Kyler Murray is about the same size as Seattle's Russell Wilson at quarterback, he's also speedy enough to evade the oncoming defensive line. Unfortunately, in Arizona, they also spent last year's first-round pick on a quarterback, Josh Rosen. They probably should consider getting someone to block for their quarterbacks, or they'll be picking back at the top of the draft again next season. But speaking of quarterbacks, there were three quarterbacks taken in the first round. We'll discuss the other two other than Murray in just a moment, though. Surprisingly, in the first round, there were only two wide receivers taken. Oklahoma's wide receiver Marquise Brown was selected by the Baltimore Ravens at number 25. And then in the last pick of the first round, the New England Patriots grabbed a wide receiver from Arizona State named N'Keal Harry. And no, I haven't heard of him, but then again, the Patriots tend to do pretty well with their picks, don't they? Running backs, you ask? There was just one picked in the first round. That was Alabama's Josh Jacobs, who went to Oakland at number 24 overall. More surprisingly, though, two tight ends, and both of them coming from the University of Iowa, were taken in the first 20 picks. Now another up.
Excellent.
The Redskins owner, but only compared to the Giants owner, who we'll talk about in a moment. The Washington Redskins made it known last night that they absolutely were going to get a top-level quarterback in this draft. Washington finished number 29 out of 32 teams in the NFL in total offense last season. In passing, they were number 28. Yeah, they needed some help. After Oklahoma's Kyler Murray went number one to Arizona, as expected, Washington's owner, Daniel Snyder, well, he kind of likes to meddle in the football operations. He does own the team, I guess. He demanded this year that the general manager and coach select a top-level quarterback in the first round. So after Kyler Murray was selected, most teams in the room knew that the remaining top-level quarterbacks were good prospects, solid prospects, but may not necessarily be worthy of an upper first-round pick. Well, enter the Redskins' divisional rival, the New York Giants. The Giants' owner, he's the downside. Knowing that the hated Redskins coveted a quarterback, and knowing that their current quarterback, 38-year-old-ish Eli Manning, has been in decline, the New York football Giants were in the market for a quarterback replacement, too. The Giants' general manager, Dave,
I know what I'm doing, even though I got fired by Carolina 2 years ago,
Gettleman, also made it be known that he was going to get what he wanted no matter what. Unlike the Redskins, who were lined up to pick at number 15 in the first round, the New York Giants had both the number 6 overall pick and the number 17 pick on opening night of the draft. With several good but not very great quarterback prospects available after the number 1 pick, the Giants' general manager surprised nearly everyone in the room and went and selected Duke quarterback Daniel Jones with the number 6 overall pick on Thursday night. Yes, he kept the Redskins from drafting him at number 15, but he also passed up a number of really quality first-round talents as well. When you think you're the smartest guy in the room, you better be right, or you better be ready for your next job in about a year or two. The Redskins at number 15 were then able to take a reasonably valued quarterback pick in Ohio State's Dwayne Haskins. Haskins had a terrific year for the Buckeyes last season and is already vowed to make the Giants pay for passing on him in the first round. Isn't this fun? Another up last night, John Gruden with the Oakland Raiders. He had three first-round picks. Let's go see how Chucky Gruden, the Raiders boss, did. With the overall number 4 pick, he picked Cleveland Farrell, a defensive end rushing specialist from Clemson. Some draft analysts thought that this defensive end linebacker combination might be good at times, but it also tends to take some plays off on the next down too. With the 4th overall pick in the draft for the Raiders, this was a bit of a reach. But then again, this is the Raiders we're talking about. Then the Raiders had a 2nd pick. This was number 24 in the first round, and they selected Josh Jacobs, a running back from Alabama. Now, if you're looking for a running back who didn't get beat up and overused in college, this was your man. He was fresh. He played for a great coach in a program at Alabama. He only literally played one season on the field, and he might have an immediate impact on the Raiders' sluggish offense. And then the 3rd pick for the Raiders at number 27 was Jonathan Abram, a safety from Mississippi State University. The Raiders do need to get better on defense, and this will help them. He was the 3rd Mississippi State defensive player picked in the first round on Thursday. Well, based on the questionable 1st pick at number 4, I think he could have traded down a few spots to get that guy. I'll give the Raiders a C+ for day 1. But the downside for the Raiders are the Raiders football scouts. Not the Boy Scouts, the football scouts. And with these 3 first-round picks, Coach John Gruden and his general manager Mike Mayock exerted their control over the entire football draft. They sent their entire football scouting group home before the draft. Why? It appears that the coach and the general manager weren't sure who they could trust, even within their own organization. So the two bosses literally cleared the draft room a week before the draft to maintain the utmost in secrecy. I don't think it'll be a surprise that the Raiders have a little turnover in the scouting department after this draft. Up story, the hockey ratings. Some good news for the NHL. In the hockey playoffs, after an assortment of tight playoff matchups and some serious Game 7 drama, the television ratings for the National Hockey League are at their highest level since 2012. However, with an average of about 800,000 hockey fans watching on cable, hockey viewership is still, a lot below your average NBA telecast. And speaking of, basketball ratings, though, they're down. Like golf fans are with Tiger Woods, apparently, there's a segment of NBA basketball viewers who just won't watch unless LeBron James is playing in the NBA playoffs. The television ratings for the early round NBA playoffs so far this season, no, there's no LeBron, his Lakers didn't make the playoffs. The ratings are down about 10% from last year. However, the NBA still draws about 4 to 5 million viewers per game, which the NHL would love to have tuning in to their hockey games. And finally today, we must sadly report the passing on Thursday of one of my boyhood professional basketball idols, John Havlicek of the Boston Celtics. He was 79 years old and reportedly was having declining health issues due to a recent battle with Parkinson's disease. Havlicek wore number 17 for Boston. His number was retired and hangs in the rafters of the Boston Garden today. And he was part of 8 Boston Celtics championship teams during the 1960s and 70s. His teams went a perfect 8-0 in the NBA Finals. And while he was in college at Ohio State, his 1960 college team won the NCAA championship too. John Havlicek played at times both guard and forward over his 16 seasons for the Kelly Green and White Boston Celtics. He averaged over 20 points per game for his career, despite coming off the bench as the 6th man for most of those seasons he played in Boston. Havlicek was probably the Celtics' most reliable scorer, much like Larry Bird became for the teams in the 1980s and 1990s. Havlicek was the ultimate team player, was beloved in Boston for his years of local charitable work too, and was named one of the top 50 NBA players of all time. Job well done, Hondo. All sports fans of my generation will truly miss you. And that's a wrap. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.